Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time now to talk Jets football with Brian Costello from The Post. And Brian's report is brought to you by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. By Security Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer. Well, welcome in. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Brian, how you doing?
I'm good, Richard. How are you?
Real good, real good. Well, Jets are getting some help in the secondary back after missing some games. So, you know, it's good to have rookie corner getting a little bit more action here.
Well, I mean, Darrell Roberts coming back is going to be interesting to watch because, you know, he was the starter all year until he got hurt. But he wasn't playing that well at the end there. And Bless Austin came in, the rookie from Rutgers, has played well. Arthur Mollett on the other side has played pretty well. So curious to see what the Jets do with Roberts coming back, whether he'll regain his starting spot. I don't think he will. I think they'll stick with Austin and Mollett and work him in, but it's going to be interesting to see how the coaches handle this.
Yeah, well, nickel and dime situations probably.
Well, I mean, the nickel is Brian Poole, who's been probably their best cornerback overall, so he's not going to play nickel. I guess dime situations he'd be in. I also think he's probably a better man corner than those two guys, so if they wanted to run some man stuff, they'll work him in. I think they'll have packages for him where he'll come in and play. I do think, you know, he'll play tomorrow, but I just don't think it's going to be, you know, he was playing almost every snap before he got hurt, so it's going to be interesting to see if he's lost his role with the way these two guys have played in his absence.
Yeah, certainly we've seen improvement there, no question. And, you know, the thing that really befuddled me with the Oakland game is with the injuries to the offensive line, and, you know, we've been going O-line all
yep.
year. They had injuries, and yet in the second half of that game, and actually through the last three quarters of that game, they played great.
So, yeah, they're playing better.
Yeah.
It's funny.
How do you figure that?
A few things. I think Kelvin Beachum makes a difference. You know, Kelvin Beachum missed that really bad stretch of Patriots, Jaguars, Dolphins. He was out for those games. You know, he's not Anthony Munoz over there, but he's pretty good. He's an NFL left tackle, and he's not going to, you know, embarrass himself. So I think missing him was, you know, really bad for them during that stretch. And again, him back has helped. I think Jonathan Harrison has been an upgrade for Ryan Khalil. I don't think Khalil was ever really right this year. He just didn't look like, you know, the guy that made Pro Bowl. So Harrison has played well, and Tom Compton has come in for Brian Winters and played pretty well at right guard. And I think the thing with Tom Compton is he's healthy. He has no mileage on him from this season, you know. So I think a healthy Tom Compton is probably better than Brian Winters was playing with one arm most of the year. So some of these guys are fresh. Harrison's a little bit fresh. I think that has helped a lot on that offensive line.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think you can say, well, it goes from a weakness to a real strength, but it's certainly a lot better than
yep.
it was.
And they're also playing, they've also played some weaker teams. The Raiders have those two rookies up front. The Bengals will be interesting because they still have Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap on the defensive line. Like, they've got a lot of weaknesses on their team, but defensive line is not one of them. So I'm curious to see how they play, against them. And the Bengals have gotten, I think they've doubled their sack total in the last 2 weeks. So they're starting to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, every week, acid test for the Jets here. Well, they passed it with flying colors
yep.
against the Raiders, but here's another same old Jets situation. You're going against a team with no wins and a team
yeah.
that you are better than and should beat. And we've seen the Jets in the past fall into these trap games and somehow don't come out ahead in those games. That happened this year in the Miami game. So I imagine the coaches are harping on it, but they've harped on it in the past and it hasn't worked. So this will be
yeah.
a test.
It is, and the Bengals have played better. You know, last 2 weeks, they played the Raiders, lost 17-10 to the Raiders, and then they lost last week to the Steelers 16-10, And in both of those games, they had Ryan Finley at quarterback, the rookie. And I think that was the thinking of going back to Dalton this week. Is like, okay, if we had Dalton in those games, we would have won. We would have scored more than 10 points. And, you know, they got to be getting desperate in Cincinnati. You don't want to go 0-16. I know people, oh, they'll get the number one draft pick, but no one wants 0-16 on their record. They're going to be desperate for a win. And, you know, them going back to Dalton this week tells you, okay, they think they could beat the Jets. This is a game that they could win. And honestly, we watched the Jets all season. You can't look at any game and go, oh, the Jets are definitely going to win that game. There's just, you can't do it. They, you know, they're not to that level. So, I think this is going to be a pretty close game tomorrow. And, you know, it's going to be, it's not going to be an easy one for the Jets. Not as easy as last week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Jets have scored 34 points. I mean, the offense is finally clicking. And as you mentioned, it's, you know, against weaker teams, except for last week with the Raiders. So this will be a question to whether they can continue to keep that offense together and has been as good as it is.
Yeah, first time in the Super Bowl era, a team has scored 34 points exactly 3 weeks in a row. So there's a little bit of trivia for you at some point. But, yeah, the offense has been much better across the board, and it starts with Sam Darnold. You know, he's looked much more comfortable, and I think things have clicked with him with his offense. He and Adam Gase are on the same page. So I would expect them to have some success tomorrow because the Bengals, their secondary is not great. You know, like I said, I think the key is the pressure. Can they do that? And, you know, to me, Richard, the last thing that the Jets sort of have to erase from that bad stretch of football is get Le'Veon Bell going. That's the only thing they really haven't done yet that we haven't seen. You know, the passing game has been very good, but they haven't really gotten Bell a big game yet. And I think, you know, this could be the one. The Bengals haven't been great against the run, so I wouldn't be shocked if he goes out and has a big day tomorrow.
Well, the metrics, I don't know what metrics they use, but they gave Bell an 85 last week for his overall game, which was very, very high. So, and he says he's playing some of the best football of his career. Certainly the numbers don't justify that on the ground, but he is, I mean, he made that, that first catch for what, 26 yards. So he is doing a lot other things, in addition to blocking. So he is kind of a more all-around guy than just, you know, running the football, which doesn't have the results necessarily.
Yeah, I still think he'll be celebrating if he gets 100-yard rushing.
Yeah.
I think with all the stuff he said about how great he's playing, I mean, to me, you know, I still think he wants to have one of those games where he has 120 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns or something like that, and I think everybody around the Jets would feel better if that happened tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that could be coming. We'll see. Final thing, you know, the conversation with Darnold and Gase, depending on how you spin this thing, I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, it's all Darnold because he came to Gase and told him this isn't working, that's not working, and let's fix this and all of that. And Gase's role in this has been diminished by a lot of commentators. What are your thoughts on that conversation that seemed to turn it around?
Yeah, they talk all the time. This wasn't Sam Darnold storming into his office. They meet all the time. And this was just, so imagine yourself being a 22-year-old in any job, right? And your boss tells you, we want to do this, this, and this. You're going to try to please your boss, right? So Sam is a kid who came in and, you know, he wouldn't tell them anything in the beginning, like, I don't think I can do that. He's a 22-year-old NFL quarterback. He thinks he can do everything on a football field. So I think it took some time before he was comfortable enough to say, you know what, like, that's not my favorite play. Like, I like this one over here. I think that was just a matter of him getting comfortable with his head coach. And in the same way, I think you can relate to your job of, you know, you can say things to your boss when you've been together for a little while versus when you first get on the job. So to me, this wasn't him, you know, it's been portrayed as him, like, kind of storming into Gase's office. These guys talk all the time. They are very close. You know, one of the reasons Christopher Johnson came out and said Gase is going to be back is because of Sam, because Sam talked to him and said he wanted, you know, he likes Gase, he likes working with him. And Christopher mentioned that when he talked to us a few weeks ago, that he believes in that relationship. And Sam has said it publicly too, that he, you know, everything about Gase. So, I don't think, you know, it's that conversation's been a little bit exaggerated to me. But it's just a matter of them finding comfort with each other and comfort with this offense.
Yeah, and the defense seems to have found pretty good comfort with Greg Williams. You know,
yeah.
they seem to all be on the same page with him and their practice habits, which carry over into games.
Yeah, the thing that stands out to me with the defense is just they're not giving up big plays. I think the Raider longest play last week was 19 yards. And usually, even a good defense, has breakdowns where they give up huge plays. And to me, I can think of, Leonard Fournette had a really long run in Jacksonville. And Odell had a long touchdown where it was kind of a catch and run. But I can't remember many huge plays where the ball's going, over their heads and there's a wide open wide receiver down the field. They've done a very good job at limiting those explosive plays. And it's been impressive what he's done with players that you didn't expect to have large roles. I mean, James Burgess is playing inside linebacker for them. He was on the practice squad, 6 weeks ago. We mentioned Bless Austin, who was a guy I didn't expect much from this year. And Austin Longlet wasn't in the plans before the season. So he's done a very good job of kind of plug and play with players. It's been impressive to watch. And, I'm curious to see what he has dialed up for Andy Dalton tomorrow versus what he could have been able to do versus a rookie quarterback.
We shall see. Okay, thanks a lot, Brian, and we'll check it out tomorrow amongst the three games at the same time. This has been killing me. The Giants game, the Jets game, and you got the 49ers and the Ravens playing at 1 o'clock. So what do I watch?
Yeah, well, if you could watch the Ravens 49ers, I'd probably watch that one.
Yeah.
I think if you just have regular cable, you're not getting that in New York, right?
Yeah.
You're only getting the Jets and the Giants. So.
Well, I can get it, but the problem is I got to talk Jets and Giants more than Ravens, so I think I'm going to be watching all three games and enjoying none of them because I'll be back and forth, but that's a first world problem.
Yeah, that is exactly.
Okay, Brian Costello from The Post.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.